holding on Lamed Amadeus, second line of the wide lines. The last thing we talked about was that a Talmud Chacham who it would be beneath his dignity to go and testify in front of a particular Beis Din because they're of a lower caliber than he is, then he's not required to go and testify there. And we mentioned, though, we limited that to the case where it's a matter of Dinei Mominos. If it's a matter of Isser V'Heter, then you have to. So, more on this topic about dinim involving edim, and then covered for Talmud Chachamim. Rav Yemer have yodilei sadus al Marzutra. Rav Yemer knew something of edus on behalf of Marzutra, so he came to Beis Din to testify. Also, like Hamei Amemer, so he came to Amemer, who was the dayan. Oisvinu lekulu, and Amemer had all of them sit. Marzutra, who was one of the litigants, and Rav Yemer, and whoever else was with him, who were the edim. And as we said yesterday, he would have invited Rav Yemer to sit. Hello? He would have invited Rav Yemer and Marzutra to sit. This is at the beginning. He would tell them to sit, and he would say to the other person, who was an Amoris, if you want to sit, also go ahead. So that way there's no favoritism, but you're also giving cover to the Talmud Chacham. Okay, Amale Rav Ashi la Meimer, but Rav Ashi says to Meimer, how can you be telling the aide Rav Yemer to sit? Well, Amma Ula Machloikus Baladin, and didn't Ula say that the Machloikus of Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim as far as whether they have to stand is only as far as the Baladinim? Amma the aidim give a hakobamid, but when it comes to the aidim, everybody agrees they have to be standing, so Rav Yemer has to be standing, how can you tell them to sit? Amale, so Meimer answers, high Esa the high Esa. Fine, but you have one Esa that they have to stand. You have another Esa that you have to honor Talmud Chachamim, Esa Shem Alei Kechatira. Therefore, Esa, the Kvod Torah Adif, therefore the Esa that involves the Kvod of the Torah is more important. So that is the halacha, but that's actually, again, this is why that Amman writes that after the Chassidus HaGemara, there came a point, any person can claim themselves, I'm a Talmud Chacham, why aren't you honoring me and letting me sit, etc. So therefore, the minhag developed that you just let everybody sit. If a person has, like the Bach says, as we said yesterday, if a person has a shtick or yiras shemayim, he'll know to stand, but out of respect for the basin. But we don't have the koyach to start saying you're a Talmud Chacham, you can sit. You're not a Talmud Chacham, you shouldn't be sitting. So therefore, we just let them all sit.
That started after
the time of the Gemara that Amram says.
Okay.
And that's what Eidim was talking about. Even the Eidim. Okay. So now we're going to have. Simon Samnegrin Burg Zelas Mirma. We're going to start. This is a simon for the next four things that we're going to be learning, where we learn different dinim about how a court case should take place, which we all learn from the Pasuk Midvar Sheker Tircha. First, we have four over here, and then we're going to have another nine later on with a simon for them as well. Why the Gemara split them into four and nine, I don't know. One of them, Aparsham and Eniakov, I think that Yir Eniakov says that actually it comes out, then you have 13 things corresponding to the 13 midas of the 13 midas of Hashem, of which the central one is Emes, midas Emes Rav and Nachal Alpanav. So therefore, we're going to be talking about 13 different ways. They have to be careful to have the absolute Emes when it comes to a Din Torah.
13
of mercy of Hashem, the 13 midas of Rachman of Hashem. No, well, they're not. I mean, each one is different. Hashem, Kerach, Machanan, etc. But the central one of all of them is Emes. We learned at the end of Sanhedrin, Midas Emes Rav and Nafal Alpanav, that Moshe saw the Midah of Emes of Hashem, and that's when he fell on his face. By Yamar Moshe, by Yikod Aitzah, by
Yishtah. Which one of
the 13 is Emes? Hashem, Teo, Rachum, Machanon, Erech, Abayim, Rav Chesed, Emes. Emes. Yeah, so that one.
Okay.
Right. It doesn't come last. It's more about Nechesed, etc. There's also different ways of counting your Gemara Midas, whatever. Let's not get into that. Okay.
No,
number one. How do we know that the Dayan should not be an advocate for his words? So what does that mean, an advocate for his words? So Rashi explains like this. The Dayan is passing the din, but he's second-guessing himself. He's realizing maybe after all I made a mistake. Now, it's very likely, a person in that kind of situation is very likely to double down on what they did. You know, yes, but this is what I decide, and therefore I'm gonna rationalize. I'm gonna come up with reasons to justify what I said, even though they're the intellectually honest thing to do. No, he does have to. He's not allowed to do such a thing. If he has reason to think that he made a mistake, he has to own up, fess up. I made a mistake, rather than trying to rationalize the wrong decision that he came to.
It's human nature.
It's human nature to do that, but the Dayan has to overcome that. That's one explanation, and a number of other Rishonim say that a different explanation of Shalayat Sanegri and Medvarov also includes that the Dayan should not be supporting one of the litigants. One of the litigants said something, the Dayan shouldn't say something like, good point. or something like that, because that'll make him, that'll make the other guy feel there's favoritism over here, and it'll prevent him from speaking up fully. So how do we know that? So now all these things, by the way, this and all the other 12 things that we're going to mention, they're not outright falsehoods necessarily. The fact that that's the thing, before Hashem explained, the fact that the Pasuk doesn't just say don't lie. Midvar sheker tirchok, stay away from a word of falsehood. Meaning if there's any bit of falsehood that could creep in over here, make sure you stay away from it. So that's this kind of thing. For example, we're not talking about an outright falsehood, but we're talking about something that could conceivably lead to a falsehood, namely that the other guy is not going to be able to speak up properly. You have to stay away from that. Make sure such a thing doesn't happen. That's number one. Number two, uminayim l'dayin shal yeshiv talmud bur l'fanav. How do we know that a dayin is not allowed to have an ignorant talmud sitting in front of him? What's going to happen? You often have talmidim sitting in front of the dayanim. We learned in Sanhedrin, you regularly have three rows of talmidim sitting in front of the dayanim. But if any of them is a bur, it's very possible he's going to speak up with some idea which sounds very nice on its face, but really doesn't begin to hold as far as Torah. And the dayan may mistakenly then, you know, sounds good, and it may affect his thinking process. So don't allow that to happen. Make sure anybody who's there learning is somebody of the caliber that if they're going to bring up a point, that it's going to be a valid point, not something that sounds superficially good. Okay. Number three, how do we know if one dayan knows that one of the other dayanim is a gazlan or otherwise posoleidus? Or one aide knows that the fellow aide with him is a gazlan or otherwise posoleidus? How do we know you shouldn't combine together with him? Don't sit on the same basin with him, or don't testify together with him. Even though the Aedrus itself is true. The Aedrus itself may well be true, but the guy is disqualified because he's a Gazlan. Again, because it says midvar sheker tirchok, and this would be a dvar sheker because a din is supposed to be judged by, it's supposed to be decided on the basis of two edim. You don't have two valid edim over here. The edus itself may be valid, but the edim are invalid.
And there is a way to know, even he knows that it's true.
He knows that it's true, so he, the base din may not know. But
somehow he knows.
Yeah, okay. Another one. Minayin ladayin shiadeh b'din shomuruma.
How do you say he's a Gazlan? What exactly do you mean? He has a contact that is in the government. People say the government.
No, he has some way of knowing. He saw, for example, the guy doing Gezel, let's say. So
obviously. Okay,
so that would be one example. Okay. Minayim l'dayin shiadeh b'din shuv. You could also have, let's say, for example, the guy with a Gazlan in some other city, then he moved over here. You know him from his old life. You knew that it was already decided in his hometown that he's a Gazlan, but now he moved to a new city and they don't know him. Okay. Minayim l'dayin shiadeh b'din shuv meruma. How do we know that a dayan who knows that a case is being, is that there's falsehood involved in a case? For example, Rashi says he hears out what the agent say, and he could tell with his fifth Shulchan Aruch that the agent are not telling the full truth. So how do we know? Shalo yoyma, the dayan should not say to himself, okay, look, hoyova edim meidim. Look, after all, the edim are saying their edus. On the face of it, their edus is valid. Who cares about what the overtones are or whatever? Echtechenu, let me decide the din based on what they're saying. V'hei kolot, koilot, toli, the tzavar edim. Fine, and the blame for it will fall, the avera will fall on the edim. Will fall on the neck of the edim because they're the ones who testified falsely. It's not my business whether what they're saying is true or false.
He
senses it's false, but he should not say, well, in that case, I don't care what my senses tell me. The fact is, they're saying such and such, so I'm going to just go according to what they said. I'm not going to worry about my senses or whatever. If it turns out it was false, well, then the blame will lie on them, not on me. How do we know he can't do that? Again, Talmud Lamed Midvar Sheker Tirchok. The fact of the matter is, it's a sheker in that case, so you have to stay away from such a thing. Means exactly that. Like, for example, you see that the Edim are not necessarily telling the truth. You could, superficially, what they're saying sounds plausible, but you sense that what they're saying is not really
you get
complete.
That every day in Basin.
That may be also. As a matter
of fact,
he deduces, right, exactly. You know, it's like he derives from what they're saying. He deduces from what they're saying. Yeah.
So according to the rules.
Yeah. So in other words, again, they're saying, deducing means he derives. He learns out from what they're saying. In other words, what they're saying sounds valid. but the, he can tell from the way they're saying it or whatever that that it's not really the complete truth, that they rehearsed it or
you're
that
right.
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Thousands of dollars of
truth. Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's not the same thing.
But that's what I mean.
Rashi says Lomad.
Shalomad, yeah, that he learns from what they're saying. Okay.
Like,
no, that's what I mean. He deduces from what they're saying. And actually, the Rosh goes even further. The Rosh says, if you have a situation like that, he says that if you have a situation like that, now what's going to happen? For example, okay, so you'll say in that case, based on our Gemara over here, fine, I can't decide this is in Torah. On the face of it, the Edom are saying one thing, but I can tell that not necessarily are they saying the truth. Fine, but if you recuse yourself from it, what's going to happen? This Baal Din is just going to take these same Edom and go to some other Beis Din, and they may not pick up on that. So therefore, the Rosh actually says, in a case like that, it may even be necessary for the Beis Din to actually give the plaintiff, the Nitva, a piece of paper that says, we heard out what the Edom said, however, we have reason to suspect that these Edom are not telling the truth. You will keep this paper with you as a Raya, and if the guy ever tries to sue you in another Beis Din, you'll pull out this paper and show the Beis Din that we, this first Beis Din, decided like that. Then the Sneh talks about it, but maybe it's not so simple. The Rambam doesn't mention such a thing, that maybe let somebody else judge it. So the Sneh says it really depends on the circumstances. But yeah.
One thing is important. You cannot decide a case on assumptions. You have to have evidence.
Indeed, but in this case,
from assumptions.
No, because, so actually, I'll tell you, now that you're mentioning it, the Rambam does write like this. In principle, now we talked about yesterday, for example, we talked about there is sometimes a concept of shudda de dini. Sometimes you have a case where the evidence points one way, but the intuition or whatever of the Dayan tells him the other way. However, and technically, the Rambam says, technically a Dayan is entitled to pass in according to his intuition. However, again, after the time of the Gemara, not necessarily are all but the Dinim and Dayanim of that caliber. So the practice has developed that we don't do that. We don't allow Dayanim to decide on their intuition. If you have a case over here where you have reason to suspect that the Edom are not telling the truth, then fine, recuse yourself. And like the Rosh says, maybe even give him a piece of paper that he can bring to another Beis Din to say that this first Beis Din had their suspicions. Fine, if another Beis Din wants to then judge the case and interrogate the Edom more carefully or whatever, fine. And then like the Smith says, they can do that. But you can't. It's true that I'm right. We don't allow both the Dinim the latitude nowadays to just decide based on their intuition, because we don't know necessarily that the Beis Din is of the caliber to do that.
But on the other hand, you can go to the other end and say we don't have rules of evidence in halacha, but you have to.
We have rules of evidence. No, we have rules of evidence that when there's two Edim, you have to follow what they're saying. In this case, the Dayanim have an intuition. They deduce from the way the Edim are saying it. Yeah, too perfect or whatever, let's say.
We have to go according to what they're saying with verification or without verification.
No, but again, in this case, the Dayanim have reason to believe that even though these Edim are saying something that sounds good and it sounds valid and whatever, it sounds like, though, there's reason to think that they're lying. He can't just say, I'm going to ignore that and pass in the din and let the blame fall on it. Midvar sheker tirchok. Therefore, if necessary, let him recuse himself. Let him say, I'm not passing this din. You want to take it to another base din. Again, then you have the Rosh's idea, which is, if necessary, you may actually give the nitzva a piece of paper addressed to the other base din. That'll say, be careful with these, be careful with this. Fine, if not, then not.
But
that's what it is.
The reasons that this guy has. Do these reasons have to be subjective or they have to be objective?
No, they can be subjective. She adeb the din shahum aruma. He realizes, based on the words of the Edim, that they're not telling the truth. But again, he's not saying we're ignoring the Edim and we're not going to. He's just saying I'm recusing myself from the case. That's how it is.
So who's going to judge this?
Some other guy.
I heard Robert Gorelick giving a speech once. And that's when he has two people in front of him. He knows within 1 second which one's the liar and which one's
but
the
it's not about
the
and that's,
he's
okay.
done it so much.
Okay,
time.
Look, we could be talking about this all night, but that's how it is. In other words, that's how it is. The Dayan is not entitled to just say, I'm going to pass in the case, ignore my intuition. On the other hand, he can't not pass in the case. He can't say, on the other hand, I'm going to completely ignore the Edom and pass in the other way around. What he can say is, I'll recuse myself. That has a long discussion of it in Hilchos Sanhedrin. He starts off by saying that a Dayan is able to judge a dinim mominus al piyad dvarim shadaitin noitel lehen shein emes, based on his intuition of what the truth is, even if there's no raya brura. However, then the Rambam goes on to say, in the time after the period of the Gemara, you have bati dinim that are not necessarily of such high caliber, and they're not such chachamim necessarily, so most bati dinim Yisrael have agreed that you need solid evidence. And he goes on to say, if you know that the din is meruma, then you do as much as possible.
Based on
his intuition. Listen, If, based on his intuition, he knows that the din is meruma, he can't just say I'm going to pass in the din. He has to, the Rambam continues, go interrogate the edim as much as possible, as much as necessary in order to catch out the edim. If he's not able to shake them, then he recuses himself.
Okay, so that's fine.
Based on the possible of our shekhar too.
That's one thing tells you 13 things.
Yes. It's not based on a possible, it's based on non-water, the dying condition. Okay. Fine.
Logic is too aid
him. And the Torah says there's a cost of that to aid him whether you know they're telling the truth or not. But the Rambam says the intuition, Okay. Based on it. Simon Tlos of Talmud of Slas Balech Chayv Smout of Shemeir. Matim, another nine things that we're going to learn from Midrash Ekotim. Number one, Minayim Matamit Sheyoshel B'Snei Rabbi. How do we know if a Talmud is sitting as a teacher, as a student, in front of his Rebbe? V'royez Chus La'oni V'Chayv La'osher. As the Din Torah is going on, he realizes there's some argument to be made in favor of the Oni, which will be against the Osher. Minayim Shel Yishtek. How do we know the Talmud is not allowed to be quiet? He has to speak up and explain explain the idea that he came up with, even though the Osher might be mad at him, etc., even though it might be saying as if like a lack of derech eretz for his Rebbe, like as if amounting to say that his Rebbe couldn't think of this idea because he was afraid of the Osher or whatever, but I thought of that idea. How do you know you have to speak up? Talmud Lomer Medivar Sheker Tircha, and that's that. You gotta speak up. By the way, it's an interesting question. What about the other way around? What if he sees a schutz for the Osher? Does he also have to speak up?
Of course.
The Taz brings from the Maharal, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe the din that you're not allowed to show favoritism to a poor person in judgment, maybe that only applies to the Dayan. Maybe that does not apply to the Talmud. However, many of the other Achronim disagree with that and say that, no, it would be the same way the other way around. Like I was just mentioning, the one that's more of a Kiddush. Okay, another one.
Minayim
l'talmud
shiroya etzabe shetoya b'din. You can say also rivashe b'tichak in that case.
Fine, but the Maharal argues, and the Taz brings, in that case, you, the Talmud, don't necessarily have the requirement to speak up. If you want to speak up, fine, midvar sheker tichak, but you're not obligated to, unlike in this case. Okay. Minayim l'talmud shiroya etzabe shetoya b'din. How do we know if a Talmud sees that his Rebbe is making a mistake in a din Torah? Now, the Talmud shouldn't think to himself, let me wait until my Rebbe paskins the halacha, until he finishes things up, then I'll tear it down, then I'll speak up and say that it's wrong, and then I'll rebuild it on my own and show what it should really be, in order that now everybody will say that this Talmud paskin figured out the right thing to do. It's not so obvious. He wants to make a name for himself.
At the expense of his drab.
But so therefore, don't do that. Speak up right away and let the drab realize his mistake himself.
However, during a shear, we should always let the rabbi talk.
Yeah, there is that.
Why do we use the pasuk midrash sheker? The Talmud knows.
Because it would be a sheker for him to think that to make it look like he didn't know the answer up until this point. Another one. Minayim l'talmud sh'ama l'rabbi. How do we know? A Talmud whose rabbi says to him as follows. Now, you've been my Talmud for many years. You know that even if people gave me 100 mona, a huge amount of money, I would never make up something. But now the situation is mona yeshli etzel pliny. Pliny owes me a mona. The ainli olav ella ada, and I only have one aid against him, which is not going to be enough for based in the paskin that he owes it to me. The most they can do is make him take a shavur. Minayin shli. So the rav is asking the Talmud, you come and be the second aid on the basis of what I'm saying. How do we know you can't do that? Minayin. No. The Talmud is a Talmud. He's not a diet. Minayin shli tzadik. How do we know the Talmud is not allowed to do that? To join in as a second aid. Talmud let me about shekhar too. I'm going to interject. What do you mean? Hi, Midbar Sheker Tilchak Nafka. What do you mean? You need to learn that from Midbar Sheker Tilchak. That's an outright lie for him to come as an aide,
right?
Because if he didn't see it himself. Never mind Midbar Sheker Tilchak. He'd been over on the issue of testifying falsely if he did that. No. Ella, what we mean is like this. You're going to Omale. The case is like this. The Rebbe says to Talmud, Vadei Chad Sada Isi. I do, in fact, only have one aide. I'm not asking you to be the second aide, to actually come and testify in Beis Din. That would be Lysana Barayatha Eid Shaker. I'm not going to ask you to do an Avela. The Ta'at Kumhasam, but I want you to come and stand over there as if you were the second aide. Don't say a word. So you're not going to be saying any lie. However, the other guy is going to think I have two edim and that may induce him to confess. No. Even if the thing is awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Corruption.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
another one. How do we know if Pliny is owed a money by somebody else? So Reuven is owed, the notion of chaver money means that he's owed money by the other person. So Reuven is owed money by Shimon. How do we know? Shaloya, Reuven is not allowed to say to himself, "Etanenu b'masayim, let me claim it." Now, the thing is like this. Minat Torah, as we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, if Shimon is kofar hafol, if he denies the debt act completely, then he's not obligated to swear. The midrabanan yak shuwa kesis for that. Midrabanan, there's no shuwa for it. So Reuven may think to himself, "Etanenu b'masayim, let me claim in basin that he owes me 200. Today she yod delivim mona. What'll happen is Shimon will admit that he owes me a mona. Oh, well then he's a moedim mikdash. Then he'll be mechuyev to me a shvua. And not only that, but I've gargle all of shvua b'machamacher. Then on top of that, what I can accomplish with that is I'm able to do gilgul shvua. I'm now able to include in that shvua other things which otherwise I wouldn't have been able to have him swear on. All by themselves, for example, kofar hakol, for example, things involving karka or avodim or whatever. How do we know he's not allowed to do that? Because that would be a dvar sheker. And the opposite, minayim lenosha b'chaverim mona. And by the way, Tosfos points out. Tosfos points out is about the next thing. Never mind. Unayin. How about the other way around? Lenosha b'chaverim mona v'tonei masayim. What about the other way around? Shimon owes Reuven 100. Now Reuven does do this kind of thing. He claims that he owes 200. And Shimon may then think to himself, let me deny it completely in Beis Din. I'll be a kofar hakol. Then I'm not obligated to swear in Beis Din. But then after we leave Beis Din, I'll admit to him that I do owe the 100. Today, this way I'm not chayav a shvur to him. And he's not able to do gilgul shvur. He's not able to make me swear on the... If Reuven were to falsely claim that Shimon owes him 200, Shimon may figure in that case, let me counterclaim that I owe nothing. Number one, he gains that he doesn't have to take an oath at all on the 100. Number two, he also gains about the Gilgul Shvur. Now, Tosfos asks, why is he more afraid of the Gilgul Shvur than the original Shvur? So Tosfos says, he owes more money. He owes too much to be able to, he might be able to handle the 100. He might be able to pay the 100 now, but he doesn't have enough for all the other Gilgul Shvurs that Reuven might take on him. How do we know he's not allowed to do that? Talmud Loimim Advar Sheker Tifa. Okay. Another case, minayin l'shloisha shenoshin monabach. But how do we know three people are all owed money by one person? So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all together, let's say they were partners in a business, for example, and Yehuda owed all of them money. Shelo yehei echad bal din shnayim edim. Now what they could conceivably do is Reuven will come presenting himself as a bal din. Shimon and Levi will present themselves as edim. Kadeshi yitzim mona v'yachloik. Then they can take the mona. How do we know you're not allowed to do that? Talmud Lamed Dvar Sheker Tirchon. Now, what they are allowed to do, Rishonim say, is, the Ritva says, for example, they are allowed to have that Shimon and Levi, for example, can write a harsha, which we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, meaning a power of attorney, meaning that they're withdrawing from this partnership, for example. They're leaving it up to Reuven to be the Baal Din and get the money, and whatever he gets, he can keep. They're withdrawing from it. Well, then they have no interest in it anymore. Then they're allowed to. However, the Ritva continues, even then they should inform the Beis Din before they come to say, "Hey, we were at one point partners with Reuven on this. However, we have withdrawn. We've withdrawn ourselves from the partnership."
Ask him such a question.
I don't know if they have to ask him, but they them maybe they should. Maybe if the Beis Din has any sense, I guess they would ask him. Okay.
Now, is Reuven expected to give them their share of the money?
No, because they withdrew.
He
would keep everything. Yeah. But they might do it because at least you know they want you know at least Yehuda should be paying off his debts or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Another one. How do we know you have a case? Two people come to a din Torah. Echad lavish smartutin. One of them is wearing rags. The echad lavish itzlus bas mea mona. The other one is wearing a cloak that's worth 100 mona. So they're wildly disparate. Sha'omim lo, we tell the rich person, lavoish kamot, so either you wear clothes more similar to him, or get him clothes temporarily for the duration of the din Torah that are somewhat similar to yours, because otherwise there'll be such a great disparity. There's going to be favoritism. It's more likely, people are much more likely to listen more carefully to the person who's wearing the $1,000 suit than they are to the guy who's wearing something else. Talmud Lomer, again, midbar sheker tefa. The Snare talks about this. The Snare says, well, Maisa, nowadays we don't generally do that. This is in his time, in the 1600s. He says we don't generally do that because there isn't usually such a large disparity as we're talking about with rags versus Mayamana. If you have one guy's wearing a $1,000 suit and the other guy's wearing an $800 suit, big deal, you know. But if you're going to have one guy's wearing the $1,000 suit and the other guy's wearing rags, you don't usually have. There's not usually such a huge disparity. So an example of that, you have also the Kamei de Rava Baravona. As an example, when a Din Torah would come to Rava Baravona, and one of the Baal Din was really rich, he was wearing these fancy slippers or something, Amalahu, he would tell the Baal Din, Shluchu Puz Mekaihu, take off your fancy shoes, your fancy slippers, Bechus of the dinner, and then come down to the Puz Mekaihu means like your slippers or whatever, yeah. Because,
what is Latin?
I don't know, that's Persian, I think, or whatever.
Oh, you never saw the Pusmakayach store in the corner?
Yeah. Dinan, come down to the Din Torah. As long as you're wearing your fancy footwear, I don't want to see you at the Din Torah. Okay, another one. Minayim l'dayin shalayishme divrei baal din chaveroi kodim shiyave baal din chaveroi. How do we know the dayin is not allowed to listen to the words of one litigant before the other one shows up? Again, Tamil Bible about Shaka Tircha, because inevitably what you hear first is what sinks more into your brain. Like this, he hears it without the other guy there to refute it or whatever, it's more likely to affect his thought processes.
But how he says.
No, so therefore, if one Baal Din comes. You have to have, if Reuben and Shimon, you cannot hear what Reuben says unless Shimon is also present.
Right.
This way, fine. One of them is going to have to speak up first. But the point is, this way, at least if Reuben starts speaking up, meanwhile, as he's speaking, Shimon can jump in. That's a lie or whatever. And that way, we allow that to the extent that way also Reuben himself is going to be a little more careful about what he says because he knows that Shimon could all of a sudden hear. Okay. Minayim l'baal din shal yakim dvar l'daya and kodim shiyav l'baal din chaver. And how about the other way around? The baal din himself is also author to come and start explaining his points to the dayan before the other person shows up. Again, Talmud Lamed Mevar Sheker too. Those last two, now all these things we were learning from Mevar Sheker too. However, those last two, about the dayan not listening to one person without the other, and about the Baal Din himself not trying to talk to the dayan without the other one, Rav Kahana Masni Meloit Tisa Loisati. Rav Kahana says those two we can learn from a different place. The Pasuk says Loisisa Shemashav, which means don't bear a false tale. That would be telling the macabre, that would be saying the dayan, don't listen to something false, which is one Baal Din speaking without the other, is bringing the falsehood. Shemashav, something that the Enid Bosh would give a sheker, Rashi says. He's not embarrassed to say a lie when the other guy's not around. So therefore, in that sense, it's Shemashav. So it's a potentially false report, and Kori Bela, and also Loisasi, we can also read the word Loisisa as Loisasi, don't make it happen, which would be the Baal Din is not allowed to speak up like that. So those last two we can learn next. Since we mentioned things that we learned from the Dvar Sheker Tirchot, so Gemara digresses a minute, to something else. There's a Pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Vasher lo, now, and the same kind of thing. We're saying with Dvar Sheker Tirchot, where we're not talking necessarily any of these things that we said are not necessarily outright falsehoods, but they could lead to falsehoods, and therefore we're not allowed to do that. Similarly, the Gemara is going to talk about over here where a Pasuk says, Vasher lo tov also b'seich amav, a Pasuk in Yechezkel, somebody who did not good among his people. So the Pasuk doesn't flat out call it wrong or bad or whatever. It just says not good. So what are we talking about? What is something that it's not the right thing to do, but it's not outright falsehood? Rav Kahan, means something that was not good. It means that he did something that was not good. Rav Omer Zehav Bar B'Harshah. So Rav says this refers to a person who comes to Beis Din with a Harshah. A Harshah is the power of attorney, like we were just talking about. So here you have, for example, so Reuven is owed money by Shimon, but instead Levi gets the power of attorney from Reuven and comes to Beis Din instead. First of all, the problem is, Rashi says, first of all, he's mixing into something that's not his business. So that itself is loy toiv. Number two, Rashi says, let's say, for example, you can have a situation where maybe if Reuven himself were to come to Beis Din, Shimon might get him to agree to a reduction in the amount or to some other kind of compromise or whatever, whereas Levi, being the attorney, he has no right to make compromises like that. So therefore, he's going to end up that Shimon is going to have to bear the full brunt of it, where if he had been against Reuven, he might have an easier time of it. So therefore, Levi is doing asher loy toiv. He's doing something not good. However, with that said, we showed him talk about it, does depend. There are cases where Harsha is the right thing to do. For example, you have a situation where Reuven is having no luck getting Shimon to come to Beis Din B'chol, where Levi may have a better chance convincing Shimon to come. Then by other examples like that, then by all means, the hashara is a good thing, because then you're saving, then you're saving a yid's money. But it's a situational thing. Hashara is the power of attorney. It's the power of attorney. Like
you could, fine.
But then you still have, you're mixing into something that's not your business.
Well, this
was Shmuel says a different meaning, that it means somebody who buys a field where there's arguments about it, where you have, like we learned in Bava Basra, you have other people arguing that this field is not claimed, other people arguing this field doesn't genuinely belong to the Mocher, he stole it, or whatever it is exactly. So again, you're buying it, now you're making it more difficult for them to get it from, you're figuring, well, I'm a tough guy, they're not going to be able to get it out of me so easily. You're making it harder for them. So again, it's loy toiv also. Okay. Now we get back to the Mishnah. Now we have this whole digression about the dinim of dayanim and edim and whatever. Now we're getting back to the Mishnah about shvuot ha'edus. Who shvuot ha'edus applies and doesn't apply to. We said in the Mishnah, ein neheges ela b'ruin l'hoyich chola. We said in the Mishnah that it only applies to men, not to women. Only non-relatives, not relatives, only ksherim, not psulim, and then the Mishnah says it only applies to those who are roy to give edus in front of basis. The question is, what does that add? La pukimai, who else are you coming to exclude? By the time you've excluded the women and the ksherim and psula edus, who is left? So I'm going to pop a la pukimai. So the prophet says it comes to exclude kings. So Rashi says like this. We have a concept, that you're the shetehe moser alecha. You have to have fear of a king, and the king, in fact, is not allowed to be moichel on his covers. The edim are supposed to stand in front of Beis Din, as we said before. Therefore, a melech is not supposed to be coming and giving edus in front of Beis Din because it wouldn't be respectful. It would be a lack of respect for the king. We talked about before sitting down. You can have them sit him down. Tosfos talked about before. You can have them sit down mitzad covered of Torah, not mitzad covered of kingship, for example. So the mitzvah covered of kingship is not enough to go against what the Torah says, v'omdu shnei ha'anashim. So the king would have to stand there, and can't have him stand, because the lack of derech eretz would be. Therefore, a king is possible. On top of that, because that would be respectful to him. And he said, v'omdu shnei ha'anashim. Because the covered of Torah is enough to override the covered of the Beis Din, and then the covered of v'omdu shnei ha'anashim, the covered of a king is not. On the other hand, to have him stand would be a lack of derech eretz for the king. Therefore, practically speaking, he can't come and testify in Beis Din.
Well,
so therefore, if a king knows something, you have other edim to do it.
That's what we're saying.
On top of that, we also learned in Sanhedrin actually that when it comes to Malchus Yisrael in particular, we said aside from what we're saying over here, Daraisa, Darabonon, later on made a rule that even in cases where Midaraisa, maybe you would be able to call a king to Edus, Malchus Yisrael you don't, because we learned over there the story involving Yama and Melech and Shimon and Shotach that Malchus Yisrael are chutzpahdik, they're not going to respect the authority of the Beis Din. So therefore, again, you can't really say that a king is possible to Edus per se. But on the other hand, Edus is not shy to him. Therefore, by saying she'ed roi la'edus, means only somebody who's able to testify in Beis Din, as opposed to kings who are not.
Are we talking about Mida Hisrael or kings?
Again, we're talking about Jewish kings. A Jewish king can't be an aide in a Jewish court at all. We're talking about Jewish kings. What is that? Covered up third, the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham. So if the king is a Talmud Chacham, maybe. So actually, Tosfos says Dinin Nefoshes. Actually, that's what Tosfos says. Is Dinin Nefoshes are different. That's how they called Yanai and Melech in the first place. Dinin Mominus is one thing. Dinin Mominus is that you can't call a king for an aid at all. Dinin Nefoshes, technically, you could. Until Shimon Shachak Zera, that you don't for Malchus Yisrael because of the
first. That's it. You never call them for both.
In the end, you never call him for both. Malka Yehuda, you do. Malka Yehuda, you're not going to call for Dinim Ominous, because it would be a design to never mark Dinim Nefoshet.
You will let person die.
No, Dinim Nefoshet, you would. But not Malka Yisrael, because Malka Yisrael are chutzpahdik, and they're not going to listen to the authority. Meaning Malka Malachim of any of the other ten Shvatim. Okay. Onward. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar l'apukim misachas b'kuvya. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that the Mishnah, by saying v'ru'in l'hoyed, comes to exclude, for example, gamblers or other people who are apostle only midrabban. Because we wouldn't have them included. All the ones we mentioned in the Mishnah, Paul so far, Paul is all right. Mando Amma Masachet Kovia, the one who says the Mishnah comes to say that it doesn't apply to a gambler, Kol Sheken Melech. How much more so a Melech that Shavuot HaEdus doesn't apply to him? In other words, again, if you were to come to the king and tell him, I want to be Mashavia you, that you're going to come give Edus on my behalf, Nothing doing. The king denies that he knows the Eidos, he wouldn't be chayav for Shavuot Eidos. So Manda Omer Melech, the opinion is the Papa, who said that the Mishnah means to exclude the king, but he would say, Abba Masachat of Kovia, but there is a Mexico. He would say that no, the gambler is, after all, suitable Midraraisa. The Rabbanon who depaslu, it's only the Rabbanon passed him. So therefore, the Shavuot is in effect, and therefore, he would be chayav on Shavuot Eidos, because even though practically speaking, he can't come testify in Beidin, Midraraisa, he would have been able to. However, Rav Acha bar Yaakov takes the view that no, the bottom line is, it becomes the basis, and then we're not going to accept his agency, he can't call him an agent.
They play for money.
No, we're not just talking about damn people who play dreidel on time. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Bifnei Basin, Rishalai Bifnei Basin. We had in the Mishnah, a machlokas between a mayor and the Chachamim. In what circumstances does Shavuot the Eidos apply? So the mayor had said like this, that it depends. It depends, the mayor says. If they did the Shavuot on their own, if the Eidim voluntarily said on their own, we don't know any Eidos for you, and we swear to that effect, then even outside Beis Din, they would be chayav for Shavuot the Eidos. If it was in Beis Din, it could even be the piyachayim. If the guy makes them swear and they answer amen or whatever, then they would also be chayav. That's what the mayor said. The Chachamim in the Mishnah said, no, either way, it only applies if they did it in Beis Din. Only applies if they denied it in Beis Din. The halacha is like a Chachamim. So the Ma'akam, what is the underlying thesis? Amru Rabbanan Kamezer HaPapa. So the Rabbanan pulled over in front of HaPapa. They wanted to argue like this. The machlokas is dependent on the question, which we talked about this before. When you have, you learn one thing with Xeira Shava, is it that you learn only the one detail with Xeira Shava, but everything else by the target remains the way it was originally? That's called Dun Minav Uki Ba'asra, or Dun Minav Mino. Once we've opened up the pipeline with Xeira Shava, we keep on bringing over details from the first thing to apply to the second thing. What does that mean? Like this. In other words, we have a Xeira Shava here like this. We haven't yet learned. We're going to learn in the next paragraph about Shavua Tafik Kodesh, about the Shavua that the Torah imposes on a Shomer when he claims that the thing was lost, was stolen, or what have you, that therefore he's positive from pain. The Torah imposes the Shavua on him. That's called Shavua Tafik Kodesh. Now, that kind of thing applies. He's chayev if it was a false Shavua, regardless whether it was in or out of Beis Din, and regardless whether it was Mipi Asri or Mipi Acherit. Rashi says the reason is because it says over there, Asher Yishava Allah, which implies however he swore, as long as he swore falsely. Rabbi Chanan learns it in a different way because he denied against the other person with Pekadin, again, without specifying whether it's in or out of Beis Din or whatever. So by Shavuot Pekadin, it applies across the board, whether it was Mipi Asmai, whether it was Mipi Acherim, whether it's in Beis Din or out of Beis Din. So, and we have a Xeira Shava from that. We have a Xeira Shava because there it says Nefesh Kisechta by Shavuot HaPikadah and Uliyur and Parshas Vayikra, by Shavuot HaEdos, that is, in Uliyur and Vayikra, it also says Techta. So therefore, we have a Xeira Shava. Rav Meir Sava Dun Mino Mino. So the Meir says we darshan by the Xeira Shava, right? And we continue to darshan with the Xeira Shava. Dun Mino, you learn that just like by HaPikadah, if he himself voluntarily swears, so also by the Eidim, if they voluntarily swear that they're going to be Chayiv. Uminan, he says, continue learning. By it, because it applies even if it's not in Beis Din. Therefore, by the Eidim, it also has to apply even if it's not in front of Beis Din. So that's where he gets the distinction in our Mishnah, that if the Eidim himself voluntarily swore, then he's chayav to recall whether it was in or out of Beis Din. Only if it was the Acherim, only if it's that the other guy asked him, just said, Mashbiach Ani, and he said, Amen, only that would apply only in Beis Din. That's how Rav Meir gets it, because Dun Mino Umina. So that's what he said. Just like that, when he swears it voluntarily on his own, he's chayev. So also we learn by the Xeder Shava, by Eidos. Because again, you have to realize by Eidos, it doesn't actually say that he himself swears. By Eidos, all it says is the Shom of Kuril Olah. He hears the sound of a shvur. So if you didn't have the Xeder Shava, you would think it only applies if the other guy is chayev. The fact that it applies, if he himself swears it on his own, we learn from the Zeta Shava of Tefta. So therefore, the mayor says, start by using the Zeta Shava to learn Mushman Piyatmai. Umina, and we continue learning with that Zera Shava, Mapikodin, Vain Basin, eventual over basin, just like Bakodin, that applies whether it was in or out of basin, at Aedus Vain Basin, eventual over basin. So also by Shwarza Aedus. So says Rameya. Rabbanon Sabri, whereas the Rabbanon hold, Dun Minav Uki Basra. You do the Xeda Shava, but then you leave everything else as it was. You open up the pipeline with the Xeda Shava, you learn one thing, and then you close the pipeline.
What do you learn?
You learn the one thing. Ma pikadin mushmem diatnechai. Just like that, pikadin, if you voluntarily swear and it turns out that it was a false shvur, you chay of the carbon. Af edus mushmem diatnechai. So also by edus, the same thing applies. Fine, we agree with that. But uki ba'asra, but we leave the rest of shvur to edus as it is. Ma mushmem piacherim based in edus, shalom based in life. Just like if he would be sworn by the other person, by one of the litigants, it would only apply in based in, and Rameyer agrees to that also. So also, Af Mushroom and Piasma, the Shaloi the based in life, it was not in based in, then not. And we know that because the Pasuk says, Imlo Yagid, if he doesn't say it, which implies it only applies in the place where if he said it would be effective, namely in based in.
Yagid means
to speak in based in, yeah. Af Mushroom and Piasma, based in, and Shaloi based in life. So the same thing, if he's Mushroom and Piasma, if he voluntarily swears, only in based in, not outside. But that's what the Chachamim say. We do use the Xavier Shava to say that it does apply if he swears himself. But it has to be in based in, just like the case where he'd be sworn by the other person. We know that it applies if he swears that. It does also apply if the other guy makes him swear, but that's a different matter. We're not getting into that right now. We know it applies to Shvuos HaPikadon if he swears it on his own. And by Shvuos HaPikadon, it applies whether it's in or out of based in. Either way, when it turns out that what he swore falsely, what he swore was false, he's going to have to repay what the Pikadon, and he's going to have to bring a carbon. Therefore, the mayor says, we have a Xer Shava to learn the same thing applies by Shvuos HaEdus, that Mushmem Pi Asmai, not just B'Shama, not just where he hears the other person making a Shavua and says Amen, but also when he himself comes up with the Shavua on his own. And Rav Meir says, well, then the same thing. In fact, because it applies even outside Beis Din, then by Shavuot it also has to apply outside of Beis Din.
Yeah.
In that case. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, the Xeder Shavuot teaches us that it'll apply if he swears on his own, not just if he heard the Shavuot, but it's not going to apply. It's still not going to apply outside of Beis Din. Other than that, we still apply what it says by Shavuot HaEdus, that it has to be in Beis Din, only in Lo Yagid, only if he doesn't speak it, in Beis Din.
But the Chachamim works only in Beis
Din. But because it's in or out of Beis Din.
By
Aedus. Because by Xer Shava, you're only learning the one thing, I have to say. However, Omelahun. Because that's how the Chachamim hold that you do with a Xer Shava. You have this machlokes in a number of places in Shas, whether Xer Shava, like this you have, for example, by Shavuos Aedus. By Shavuos HaEdus, the Torah tells us Imlo Yagid, again, from which we learn that it has to be in Beis Din. So the mayor is saying basically that Xer Shava is overriding that Imlo Yagid. It's saying not only if it's in Beis Din, the place of Haggadah, but also if it's outside of Beis Din. The Chachamim say, no, the Xer Shava can teach us exactly what it's teaching us, that it applies whether he himself swore, which is what it talks about by the Kodin, or whether or not. But it can't teach us something that it doesn't explicitly say about the cotton, and you want to learn that the same way as it applies about the cotton, you want to apply it to the other one. We don't have a basis to say that. Amalahu Rapapa, however, Rapapa says to them, Imi Pikadon Gamri Lo Rabbanon. No, if the Rabbanon are learning it from, we're to agree that we're learning it from this Zer Shava, from Shavuos HaPikadon, the Kula Amalek, like the Dun Mino Mino. Everybody would agree that it would be a complete Kavachot, that it would be a complete Zer Shava, and you would learn everything from it. It can't be that they're learning it from Shavuos HaPikadon, by the Xer Shava. Because then the Chachamim would agree that you learn everything. Ella, Hainu, Taima, the Rabbanon. No, rather, the Papa says, the reason of the Rabbanon in our Mishnah, the Maisulam Kavachomer. They say, never mind the Xer Shava, they learn it rather from a Kavachomer. They don't accept the Xer Shava, let's say. It's going to happen. We have many times in Shas where one Chacham learned a certain Xer Shava of a Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, and the other one did not. So, they say like this, Umami Pi Achenim Chayev, Madach, if you be sworn by the other person and you only answered Amen, that you're chayev for Shavuos HaEdus, mipiasma lekoshkin, how much more so if you actually volunteered the Shavua on your own and it turned out it was false, that you should be chayev. And umi demaisim of a kavachayim. And now, given that the Chachamim are using a kavachayim to learn this, then we have the usual rule, daye levomin adim liyitkinadim. Then they say, it's enough that what you're learning by Xeder Shava should be no stronger than what you're learning from. Ma mushrim ti acherim based in angel based in. It's called Daya. That's what it's called. The rule is called Daya. Ma mushrim piacherim, just like when he's mushba by the other person and he only answers amen. The based in ain shalay the based in lo. It only applies in based in, not outside based in, which a mayor agrees to. Ask mushrim piachmer the same way. You want to learn mushrim piachmer where he volunteered the shvuah. You want to learn that by kavachmer. Also, if ne based in ain shalay the ne based in lo, it can only apply in front of based in. Otherwise, you die because otherwise you'd be saying that what you're learning, that the case you're learning where he said it on his own should be stronger than the one you're learning from, which is mushrim piachmer. And he can't do that. Daya prevents that. Whereas your mayor says, never mind, you kavachmer. I have my gzeirah shavah, and therefore I can learn everything. However, Amrul Rabbanan the Rapapa, but the Chachamim said to Rapapa, Ni Motis Amrit the Lab Bedun Minom and Aplegi. How can you possibly say that the Chachamim are not learning their opinion from based on what we said before, Dun Minom Minom or Dun Minom or Oki Bahasra? That they are agreeing with Zeta Shava, they just disagree on the mechanism of Zeta Shava. But Hatsnam, Gabbat Pekadin. We learn in a Mishnah in the beginning of the next Perek, when we start talking about Shavuot Pekadin. We say they are Shavuot HaPikadon and Hegas Ba'anoshim of Anoshim. Shavuot HaPikadon also applies to both men and women, because women can also be Shomrim. But Chokin of a Kriven applies whether they're relatives or not, because they can also be Shomrim. The Ksherin of a Psalm, the Tnebeistin, the Shalad of Tnebeistin. Mipi Atmoi, all of this applies if he volunteered the Shavuot on his own. However, when it comes to if the other person made him swear and if the other person beswore him and he answers Amen, he's only chayev unless he denies him in Bastin. Give it a mayor. Whether he volunteered on his own, whether it's Mipiacherim, given to Kofabari, as soon as he denied it, chayev. Then he's chayev. Now you have to ask. Mushvim piacherim pikadim. When it comes to the pikadim, the case of mushvim piacherim, the case where the other person said, "I'm making you swear," and he answers, "Amen." Where do we get that? After all, the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk only says the chichesh ba'misa that he denied or whatever, implying that he voluntarily swore that he doesn't owe it.
Where is the pasuk for it?
What?
Where is the pasuk for
it? Yeah, but here we're not talking about
the shomer in one of the.
If one of the shomer
wasn't in the framework of shmira. You might have to this, but if you
can't, you something. Stop 1 second. There's a difference between the Balu Din and the Aegis. If Reuven gives Rachel something to watch for, then Rachel is the Shomer. If she now denies later on, if she claims that it was stolen or lost or what have you, she's going to have to come to Beis Din and swear. She's not an Aegis. She's the Balu Din. Aegis may come and testify that what she's saying is
false.
Right. Yes. Yes.
What's the difference?
Because a Baal Din can be a woman, an aide can't be a woman. That's what we said before. We learned before at the beginning of the Perek.
So Shua is a Shua. Why
no, it doesn't matter. It's not a question of Shua. Aidim don't normally take a Shua either. The Rambam specifically makes a point, and the Rambam specifically makes a point in Yad HaChazaka and Hilchos Aidim that we don't do like the Goyish courts. We don't make the Aidim swear anything. We listen to the Aidim and we interrogate them or whatever. We don't do you put your right hand on the Bible and swear that you'll tell the truth, the whole truth, etc. We don't do like that.
No, obviously.
Yeah.
So the Baal Din is in a stronger position.
Yeah. So then we'll do Kalvachon. No, because we learned before we had a limit from there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, onward. So the point is, Mushrim and Piacherim is the Kadim Minolu with Rabban Mechayim. After all, where would the Chachamim know when it comes to the Kadim that the whole concept of Mushrim and Piacherim, given that it doesn't say in the Pasuk, it only says that he himself denied it? Obviously, they must be learning it by a Gzeira Shava from Eidos. So therefore, you see that they do accept the Gzeira Shava, otherwise they couldn't know it by the Kodin at all. So therefore, they must be taka arguing on the mechanism of Gzeira Shava, whether it's Dun Minom Minom or not. The answer is, Me'ahi E. You're right. From that Mishnah, we can definitely see that they accept the Kavachon. The Pashas the Gemara itself is answering. Maybe the Papa himself answered them. I don't know. Meha lekel mishma mina. From our Mishnah, we wouldn't necessarily know that. Based on our Mishnah alone, we could say that it's machlokas whether we're using a Gzeira Shava or a Kavachomer. Once we have the Mishnah in the next parak, then it's clear that they both accept the Gzeira Shava, and it's just a question of how to apply the Gzeira Shava. Then we said in the Mishnah, v'chayavin al zodin hashvur, we said in the Mishnah that the chayav, even if the shvur was deliberate, if they knew, in other words, that it was a false shvur at the time, they're still chayav the carbon. Menahani mili, where do we know this from? The Tanan Abanan, we learned in a Braisa, we learned this in the previous parak as well. Bekulon nema behen v'nealam, by all the other cases of korban ola v'yoda, the pasuk always says v'nealam, that he forgot. V'kan le nema v'nealam, here by Shavuot Ha'edus, it does not say v'nealam. L'chayev alam mezid g'shogid, therefore it means he's just as much chayev if he was mezid as if he was shogid. And by the way, I mean, you were asking me the other
day.
Because I'm saying that one. You asked me the other day what would be the reason behind it. So I looked at that, why it should be that Shavuot and Eidos apply both for Shogeg and Bemezid, and they harmed the guy, they prevented him from getting money or whatever. So the Chinuch talks about it briefly. He says that maybe the idea is because people tend the cloud to take Shavuot somewhat lightly. People figure Shavuot is just words. And in a case like this, maybe they figure it's only a grumma. I didn't directly take away money from him. I just prevented him from getting money or whatever. People take that kind of thing lightly. So therefore, the Torah had rachmonos on a person and made it that you have to bring a korban or the yoreh instead of a fixed value chatos. And since also it's an in between kind of thing. So it's like, yeah, they are serious avedos, but on the other hand, there are avedos that people tend to treat lightly, and therefore, and same, he says the same thing about tumas mitzvah kodesh. The details of tumah v'tara are very complicated. It's very easy for a person to be over on them. Therefore, the Torah had rachmonos on a person and gave him a lesser value korban. Fine. We said Valshigagosim Zodun Aegis. We said that another case where they'd bring the korban is if they were shogig on the Shavua, but bemazed on the Aegis. Meaning again, they didn't know the Aegis, but what was the shogig on the Shavua? You can have the example. The Aegis said, you're there, and the Shavua is lost. I know the Shavua is lost, so I know that I'm swearing falsely. But I don't know whether you have a korban for it. As we learned in the previous perek, that kind of thing is considered a shogeg, and he would have to bring a korban.
But I'm also mentioning another thing. But I'm
also that also, if the person just doesn't know that the shavua is also, that such a shavua is also, he knows it's false, but he doesn't know that the Torah asks him from making such a false shavua, that would also be an example of shogeg. Okay, what we said, however, the Mishnah had said, you're not chayav if it was all the shogeg, meaning that you taka thought you didn't know the Aegis, and swore to that. Greatest, it means by itself. In other words, if when they made the shvua, they really thought, now, like Rashi said on the Mishnah, shogeg gave him the gamri, they thought they don't know this Aegis. Later on, they remembered they did know the Aegis after all. But then we said they're potter from the carbon. The question is, Lema Tanena Ludrav Kahana Vidravasi. It seems maybe that we have explicitly in our Mishnah the case of Rav Kahana and Ravasi. We had a few days ago where Rav Kahana and Ravasi. We learned the other day, we had the case where Rav Kahana and Ravasi were by Rav's Shir, and afterwards one of them swore that Rav had said such and such, and the other one swore that Rav had said the opposite, and later on it turned out what one was correct and one was not, and they were concerned maybe there was a false Shavua over here, and Rav tells them, Liboy Onsoi, that your heart made you an onus, and therefore it's an onus, and therefore you're potter from any carbon or anything, or according to Tosfos over there, you're potter from any Aveira at all. It seems from our Mishnah you have exactly this point, that here you have the Edom thought they didn't know the Eidos, and they swore, and were saying they're potter from the carbon. Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, being Amaroyim, are expected to know all the Mishnayot. How could they not know the implication of our Mishnah? The answer is what? Quite the same thing.
They have to know, but it seems that they don't. That's the question. How could they not know such a thing? Why are they asking Rav, do we have a carbon or whatever, when we see them? They should know from our Mishnah, but they're not. The answer is no. What? It's not the same thing.
Even though we learn in our Mishnah, we still need to be told the case of Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi. Because you would think like this, because again, by Shavuot Eidos, it does not say v'ne'alam. So therefore, the shogeg, we would think, has to be something where there's an element of mezid in it. If you're completely shogeg, you've taka forgot that you knew the Eidos, maybe that wouldn't be considered anything similar to mezid, and therefore the Torah would pass with you. But over there, by Shavuot Bitui, where it says Vanelam, it says that you forget. You would think any kind of shogeg is enough to make you chayav a korban, even if it was shogeg korev l'oynes, like in their case, kamash malon, and that was Rav's chiddush in informing them that no, when it comes to Shavuot Bitui, it has to be pure shogeg without any element of oynes.
Because if there is
an oynes, then you're potter from a korban. But over here, it would be more obvious, and therefore, so they couldn't have derived it from our Mishnah, because you would say, in our Mishnah, you would say, Shavuot Eidos applies only if there's an element of mezid in it. But not over there. Okay. Mishnah says, Shavuot Eidos Ketzad, okay, how does Shavuot Eidos work? What's the scenario where the person is chayev? Amar l'shnayim boyu v'hayiduni, the person goes over to two people and tells them, come say Eidos on my behalf in mezid. And they answer shvua she'enon yodin l'chayedus. They volunteer in reply a shvua that we don't know any edus for you. or they just say without a shvur, we don't know any edus for you. And he says, Mashviani Aleichem, I'm beswearing you to that effect. But Omru Amen, and they say Amen. Either way, Harelo Chayovin, those are the two cases where they're chayim. Those are Mipi Asmoi and Mipi Acherim that we were talking about in the previous Gemara. Now what happens if he beswore them five times? Five is not necessarily five. The Gemara of the Mishnah sometimes uses five as just some indefinite number. A few times, yes. So he mashbiah them a few times outside Beis Din, ubola Beis Din v'hodu. Later on, they come to Beis Din. So each time they denied him outside of Beis Din. Each time he made them swear and they denied it. But now they come to Beis Din and they admit that, and they admit that they do actually know the Eidus. Then Turin, then they are potter from the Korban. Because the shavuos, the kfirit, even we had before. So you have there's a few different ways of understanding. There's a few different ways of understanding our Mishnah, whether it's according to the Meir or the Chachamim or whatever. One of the explanations is, again, even we have Machlokas or Meir and the Chachamim before, whether it has to be B'fnei Beis Din or Shalei B'fnei Beis Din, everybody agrees that the Kfira has to be in Beis Din. The denial has to be in Beis Din. The Shavua may be in or outside of Beis Din, but the Kfira has to be in Beis Din. So therefore they're positive. Kofru, but if they deny it in Beis Din, Chayovan, Akol Achas Achas, now they become Chayav, a Korban, for each individual Shavua. Their one denial in Beis Din now covers all the five Shavuas that took place outside of Beis Din.
Five or more, actually.
Well, however many, yeah. We're using five, again, meaning an indefinite number. Yeah. What about Hishbiala and Heipam Vifnei Beis Din?
What in proof? Someone has to be in proof that...
This that they're Chayav, the Korban, is they themselves eventually realize that they themselves eventually want to do Shavua. And what about that?
Wait a second. So when they admit that they support mostly, as soon as they get the base, and they don't have to do any corporate.
Right. Because they themselves, yeah. Well, no, hoidu means that they, no, hoidu b'fnei beis din means that they actually came and testified.
So we do actually know the Shavua, and we do actually know the Eidus,
and then, yeah.
So even though they swore, they didn't know it, they came and testified, and so then they don't have any korbanos because of
those Shavuos, right. But if he beswore them five times in front of Beis Din, the Kofru, and they denied each one, then Einan Chayav and Al-Achas, then they're only Chayav one korban for all five of them. Omer Reb Shimon Matam, so Reb Shimon says, why should that be so? Because the difference is, if it was in front of Beis Din, they're not going to be able to admit afterwards. Right. Once they declared in Beis Din that they don't know any Eidus, they're not able to change their mind and say, we actually do know the Eidus. So therefore, as soon as the first Shavua took place and they denied it, then already the second Shavua and the third and whatever have no effect. They're meaningless because these people are now Pasul Eidus. And we learned in the first Mishnah that Pasul Eidus, it doesn't work. Mashenkin, if it was outside of Beis Din, then never mind Edom Zomim, that would be a special case. We have other Edom against them. Here we're not dealing with that. But if they swore outside of Beis Din, then those Shavuos in and of themselves don't count yet. And like this, when they were Kofer in Beis Din, their Kfira now, they could have, after any one of those Shavuos, they could have still come to Beis Din and given the Edos. Like this, they didn't. So therefore, they become Chayiv individually for each of those Shavuos. Because in the case where they swear outside of Beis Din, after each one of those shavuos, after any one of those shavuos, after all five of them, they could have come to Beis Din still and testified. They didn't say anything yet in Beis Din that would prevent them from testifying. But if they swore falsely in Beis Din that they don't know this Eidus, and afterwards they claim that they do, then you can't have. Once they said Eidus that they don't know this Eidus, then they can't change their mind and say again.
And if they would do the same also,
it doesn't matter. No, because it's outside of Beis Din. Right. Okay. Kofru Shnei and Kachod continues the Mishnah. If the two Edim are Kofru together, meaning B'Telch Kedidibu, we'll talk about in the Gemara exactly how that works, Shneim Chayavin, then they're both Chayav the Korban. V'Zeach HaZeh, but if it was one after the other, outside of Telch Kedidibu, Harushin Chayav Ba'Shein Potter, only the first one is Chayav the Korban, the second one is Potter, because once the first one is out of the picture, then you only have one aid. One aid is not enough to take out money, so therefore there's nothing for him to bring a Korban for. The concept of Shavuos Eidos, as we're going to develop in the parak, only applies when this Eidos would have been used to take money from the other person or to keep money that you have in your possession now. Only when it's a matter of taking or giving money. One aid is not capable of doing that. The most he can do is make the other guy have to swear. And we'll see in the Gemara, that's not enough to make him chayav.
What would one aid enough only be?
If Reuben takes Shimon to Beis Din, you owe me $100. If Reuben has two aidim, and everything checks out, then Shimon has to pay him the $100.
Right.
If Reuben only has one aid, all that happens is Shimon is obligated to swear. If he swears, then he's potter. If he doesn't swear, if he doesn't want to swear or whatever, or he can't, then he's chayav to pay. But that's all one aid can accomplish. The one aid in and of itself does not accomplish taking money from Shimon and giving it to Reuben. Okay. So therefore, in this case, once the first one was kofer, so now he's out of the picture, you only have the second aid, and one aid is not enough. Kofer echad v'hoide echad. What happened? One of them was kofer, and the other one admitted. The other one gave the aiders. A kofer chayev. Only the one who denied it is going to be chayev. We'll see in the Gemara what the chiddush of that is. Hoyu shneki to aidim. What if Reuben brought with him two sets of aidim to testify to it? Kofra harishona v'achakach kofra hashniya. First, the first set denied it. Then the second set denied it. Shtei and chayavus. Then both of them are chayav the korban. Because either set of aidim would have been enough to establish the aiders. So therefore, each one individually is a valid set of aidim, which who forces. No, so that's what we're saying. So he first brought in Don and Naftali, and they swore falsely that they don't know anything. Then he brought in God and Osher, and they did the same thing. Well, either set of Aden by themselves could have accomplished it, that Shimon would have had to pay. Therefore, each set is Chayav the Korban. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Ra'uhu Sherot Acharei, and suppose that the Aden see Reuven running after them, and they say, what are you running after us for? Shvur She'enon Yodin L'Chayidus, we swear that we don't know any Aden for you. Turin, they're potter from the carbon, unless they hear from him saying, come and say Eidos on my behalf. The question is, my Kamashmalan. Well, what's Shmuel's Kiddush? Tanena. No, well, not so obvious, we'll see. But Tanena, we learn later on in our Perek, Shilach Biad Avdoi, if Reuben, in this case, the plaintiff, sent his Eved to make them swear, or the Nitzba, Shimon, let's say, tells them, I'm making you swear that if you know Edus on behalf of Reuven, you come and testify on Reuven's behalf. In both those cases, they're potter, unless they hear it from Reuven himself, from the plaintiff. So, of course, then, if he's only running after them and they volunteered the shvur before he said anything, they should be potter. What's Shmuel's chiddush?
Right.
The answer is rot acharein. It's richale, yes, but the chiddush is that Shmuel has to say in the case where you see him running after them. Sakrad chamina, because you would think to say, kibin de rot acharein, since he's running after them, and obviously he has something he wants to tell them, commander omolahu domi, maybe it should be considered the equivalent of actually saying it to them. Kamash kolon, no, we don't say that. Okay, the question is, v'hon nami tanena. We don't say that, so therefore they're potter. Therefore they're potter. The question is, v'hanami tanena, fine, but this also that we're saying that only if he actually speaks it, we see in our Mishnah. We say in our Mishnah, Shavuot Ha'edus Ketzad, how does Shavuot Ha'edus work? Omol Ha'edim Boyer V'hayidun Yishavuot Chola, if he says to the Edim, come and say Edus on my behalf. Omar Ein Loy Omar Loy, why not if he said it, not if he doesn't say it? Omar Ein Loy Omar Loy. The answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Omar Lav Davka, you could say the word Omar, you might have thought that maybe the Omar of our Mishnah, usually, it's not specifically, usually you would have, he speaks to them. It could also be.
Maybe you're right. Omar is Omar.
We would think that maybe it means, usually you speak, but it could also happen now. The Eloi Temahochi, and after all, if you weren't to say it like that, think of Gavit Pekodin. What about when we have Shavuos Pekodin in the next parak, the Katani Shavuos Pekodin Ketzad, where we say, how does Shavuos Pekodin work? Amalai Temli Pekodin Shiesh LeBiyadcha, where we said that Reuven says, give me the Pekodin that's in your hand. Hochinama, Amar Ein Loi Amalai. Are you going to tell me that also it only applies if Reuven explicitly said, give me the Pekodin and not? After all, the Pasuk says if he denied the Pekodin, meaning regardless, even if Reuven didn't say anything and Shimon volunteered that the Pekodin was lost or what have you. Ella Omar Lav Davka. So you have to say that in that case, Omar means not necessarily specifically Omar. Hochanami Lav Davka. So the same thing over here, you could argue that Omar means not necessarily, and therefore Shmuel has to come and tell us otherwise.
Because in this second case, it's not.
Because in that Mishnah, Omar means not necessarily, then over here also. However, the Gemara says, Hi, Mai, what kind of an argument is that? If you say over here that the word Omar in our Mishnah is specifically, it means specifically if Omar and not if he's just running after them.
Right. Only Omar.
Only Omar, in other words,
Omar
yeah.
Running.
Right. If you say that all Maravihi was Dafka, Tanahacham, also Tanahasam, Atuhacha. Fine, then the next paragraph, the Mishnah uses the word Omar for parallelism with here. Once it has to say Omar over here, then it says Omar over there, even though it's not necessary. Eli Amit, Loy Omar Dehasam Dafka, Loy Omar Dehacha Dafka, but if you're saying the Omar over there, it doesn't necessarily mean Omar. It could even mean where he didn't say anything. The Omar over here doesn't necessarily mean anything, it could mean where he's running. Then in that case, Lomalei the Mishnah, then why does the Mishnah have to use the word Omar at all in either place? Yeah, then you don't use it either place. The answer to the Gemara says, after all, though, Dilma Uchad Milsa Kamashmalan. Nevertheless, you still could argue that maybe Uchad Milsa, the normal way of doing things, Kamashmalan is what the Mishnah is telling us. Maybe the Mishnah is mentioning is using the word Omar, even though in neither case is it necessary. Maybe in both cases it uses the word Omar, even though it's not really necessary. In either case, it's because the normal thing is that Omar. The normal thing is the person comes to the Edom and asks them to testify in his behalf. The normal thing is that the Baal HaPikadon comes and says, where is that Pikadon? Lashem Ne'adam. So therefore we still can argue that we could have argued that the word Omar in our Mishnayos, in this Mishnah and in the next Perek, is not necessarily Omar. And therefore, Shmuel has to tell us that at least in our case, no, Davka applies Omar. Okay, Tanya Kavasei to Shmuel, we learn a braise in accordance with Shmuel. Ra'uhu Shabacharei, and if the Edom see that this person is coming after them, Amru and Ma Shabacharei, and the Edom say, what are you coming and following us? Shavua She'en on Yod Lacha Edus, it's weird that we don't know any Edus on your behalf. Turin and their potter, Bikadin Chayavin. However, if it was a case of Bikadin, then they would be Chay, because Bikadin doesn't matter in or outside based in the different rules of Isaiah. We said in the Mishnah,
we said it for them five times outside of Beis Din, and then they denied it one time in Beis Din, and the five
individually for each one. But if there's five Shavuos were in Beis Din, they only chayav the one. So, Menolam da Kfira be Beis Din hudim chayav. How do we know that the Kfira, they're only chayav for if it took place in Beis Din? Achut be Beis Din loy mechayav. How do we know that they're not chayav if their denial was outside of Beis Din? Amar Abaya. Because again, we said before, it says, we mentioned it before, if they don't speak, Yagid means to say. So it only applies in the place, in the basin, where if this one, these two, whatever, had spoken up, then they would have been Machai of the other guy moment.
Which is basin.
If that's the case, maybe you should say the Shavua itself maybe has to be in Beis Din also. Where do you get that you should be chayav for Shavua outside Beis Din, right? The answer is lo tzakadaydach. You can't think that way. D'tanya, because we learn in a braisa, la'acha, because we learn in a braisa that when the pasuk says, a few pesukim later when it talks about the korban he has to bring, it says he's guilty la'acha. La'chayav, akalach v'achas. And you learn from the word la'acha, we learned this in the previous parak, that he's chayav individually for each one. So therefore, you have to see, there has to be a case. He's chayiv individually for each one. The Isak that is the Beis Din. Now, if you thought that the Shavuot and the Kfira have to take place in Beis Din, only me mechayiv akalach zachat, how would it be possible for him to be chayiv for each one individually? We learn in our Mishnah. He should be alein chamisha palm in the Beis Din. We said in our Mishnah that if he be swore them five times in Beis Din, the kafru, and they denied it each time, ein chayiv an alachas, and they're only chayiv one, and omer abshim in matzah. And Rav Shimon says, Matam, why is that? Because at that point, they've already disqualified themselves from Eidus, and they can't retestify. So obviously, if the whole thing took place in Beis Din, there would be no way to apply the La'achat and make them chayav individually for each one. Obviously, therefore, the implication is the Shavua can be outside of Beis Din. The denial to be effective can only be in Beis Din. And therefore, you have the distinction whether the Shavuos took place outside Beis Din, where they're chayiv individually for each one, where we apply la'achas, versus where it's in Beis Din and we only have one Shavuah, because practically speaking, they've disqualified themselves. Then we said in the Mishnah, kofru shnei ka'achas chayiv, and we said that if both of them denied it at the same time, then they're both chayiv. The question is, what do you mean at the same time? How are you actually samsim? We have a discussion in a number of places in Shas, whether when you have two things that seemingly happen in the same moment, did they really happen in the same moment or not? One example of it, the Gemara mentions, which we're going to talk about, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, we're going to talk about Rabbi Yisrael Glili's opinion. One example of this comes up in Masechta the Bechoris. Suppose you have a mother animal that's giving birth for the first time, so the newborn is going to be a Bechor. Suppose it gives birth to twins, and suppose both heads come out at exactly the same time. Which one is the Bechor? Rabbi Yossi says, Efshar l'tzamtzim. Rabbi Yossi holds, it is possible to say that two things that seemingly happened at the same moment really happened at exactly the same moment. Therefore, both of these animals are b'charedim.
Whereas it is possible.
It is possible. Whereas the Chachamim, they disagree. They say it's impossible to be mitzamtzem like that. It must be that one of them came out a fraction of a second before the other, but you didn't realize it. And therefore, what it means is really only one of them is a b'charo, the other one is not. Both of them are a suffix b'charo, which therefore they are genim of what you do with a suffix b'charo.
By the way, since we're talking about b'charo, the entire goof has to be out, or
no,
just the head?
Just the head. Just that one wants the head.
The full head or part of it?
I don't remember exactly. If I remember correctly, it's most of the head, but I'm not sure about that. When we get to Masechta B'charis, we'll learn about it, Be'ez Hashem. Anyway, the point is, the Chachamim hold that E.F. Shalatzamtim, that you have two things that seemingly happened at the same moment, did not really, one of them was a fraction of a second before the other. Therefore, if you have these two Edim at the same time saying, Shavur She'enon Yod L'Chayidus, inevitably one of them said it a drop before the other one. Therefore, only the first one is going to be chayav the carbon, the second is not. How can we say they're both chayav the carbon?
It's plus everything, not yeah. The carbon.
Yeah. Amar Rav Chista, Hamani Rav Yisya Gvili. So Rav Chista says, okay, our missionary is like Rav Yisya Gvili. Drama Epshal Samson. He says it is possible.
The
to,
only one?
Well, that's here, yeah. Rav Yechanan Amar Afilu Temer Rabbanon. Rav Yechanan says, you don't have to say that. You can even say that our missionary goes according to Rabbanon. Because the case is, in our Mishnah, when we say that they did it, means they did it, they did it, within the time that takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, then that's considered B'vachacha. However, Amalei Rav Acha Midifti L'Rabbeinu, but Rav Acha Midifti, and the reason for that is, by the way, because in general, with most things in the Torah, we say that a person can change his mind, which has to do, we learned about it in Baba Basra, for example. There are a few exceptions. Magadif was one of them. There were a couple of exceptions. But in general, in general, a person is able to retract potentially dibur. So if the aid were to say, Shavur She'enon Yod L'Chayidus, never mind, then there would be never mind. Yes. So therefore, if the other aid says it potentially dibur, then Omelet of Acha Medifti.
Does it be said in Hebrew?
No, in any language. Any language. Omelet of Acha Medifti L'Rabbeinu, however, of Acha Medifti after Rabbeinu, Nechti, let's consider, Tochre Debo Kamahabi, how long is the definition of Tochre Debo? Kadesh She'elos Talmud L'Rab. Yeah, well, 1 second, we're going to see what the point of it is. The amount of it is Kadesh She'elos Talmud L'Rab, the amount of time that a Talmud takes to greet his Rebbe, Ikadam Kadesh She'elos Adab L'Talmud, okay, So it's the amount of time. Rashi actually had that girsa that it's either the amount of time that it takes the Talmud to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, or the time it takes to say for the Rav to say the Talmud Shalom Alecha. Yeah, because the Rav doesn't have to say Rebbe; he just has to say Shalom Alecha. But whatever, that is the definition of Sheilas Talmud of Tzedek Dibur. Now, here we're saying, Ad Amri. Now here, what are they saying? Shavur She'ein Onu Yodin L'Chaedus. They're saying a Shavur that we do not know any Edus for you. That's 6 words. Truva Abi, that's longer than Tashkir Dibur. How are you going? Rav Acha Medifti, in other words, is assuming that what we mean is they both have to do it within the Tashkir Dibur. How is that possible? Yeah. Amalei, so Ravina tells him what it means is call Tashkir It means the second one starts its Shavua within Tashkir Dibur of the end of the first one. So it doesn't have to be that he finishes it with Tashkir Dibur of the first one.
I'm saying it's impossible.
No, it's not impossible, therefore. So we do know. The first one says Shavua She'enin Yer Nukhaya. And then, before the amount of time passes that it says, the second one immediately starts.
Two in first, like
one right after the other, with less than 2 seconds between the first one ending and the second one starting. That's fine. That's a normal thing. People can do that.
Yeah, people can do it. They're kind of talking with now about it.
Never mind that. It, as soon as the first one finishes saying Shavur She'enon Yod L'Chayidus, yeah, me too. Shavur She'enon Yod L'Chayidus. That's not that hard to do. And then we're saying both of them will be fine. Okay, we said if it was one after the other, the first one is chayav, the second one is potter, because again, the first one has taken himself out of the picture, needed to. So the Gemara says, Machnisin Deloiki Hai Tana. Our Mishnah apparently is not like the following Tana. Again, usually you would rather that a Mishnah, that a Sam Mishnah should be open to everybody. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Mashvia Eid Echad Potter. A Braisa says that if a person beswears one aid, then he's potter, the aid is potter if it was false. The Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon is chayav. The Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon says he's chayav. So if our Mishnah says that you only have one aid left and he's potter, that seems to be not like Rav Shimon. Not like Rav Shimon. Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon says that one aid is chayav. Now, what is the underlying machlokes? Lema b'hachamim. So should we say that the machlokes between them is based on the following question? The Marisava is. Now we know. Okay. We know it's a known thing throughout Shas that one aid only accomplishes if the other guy is going to have to swear, as we said before. The Gemara is assuming, for purposes of the question, that maybe Rebbe Elazar ben Rav Shimon doesn't hold at that concept.
Maybe he holds 1/8 is enough to take away mamon. So therefore, should we say that that's the argument? The Marasada Eidach of Piyasa the Shavuot would be called. So maybe the Chachamim hold that 1/8 only accomplishes the other guy's going to have to swear, and that's not mamon. That's only a Shavuot, yeah. The other one of Elizabeth of Shimon holds that maybe 1/8 is capable of that the Dayanim can decide on that basis to take away money from the other guy. And therefore, so therefore, according to Elizabeth of Shimon, 1/8 is enough to do that, and therefore you should be chayav a carbon shura. The problem with that is, how could you think that? Didn't Abaya say, everybody agrees when it comes to the aid of a soter, we're going to say what Abaya says, then we're going to clarify phrase by phrase what he means. But everybody agrees when it comes to an aid of a soter, there is a case where everybody agrees that 1/8 is enough to be chai of a korban shavua. There is such a case, we're going to see soon now, but HaKol Moedim Be'ed Dei Soter, also everybody agrees when there's two aidim of a soter, in another scenario involving a soter, which again we're going to discuss soon what that scenario is. Or machloikas the edim of a soter, and there's another case where there's a machloikas regarding the edim of a soter.
One is
within a soter itself, you have a case where they both agree with a chacham and a lot of the shit, that one aid who falsely swore that he doesn't know about a soter would be chayev. Another case where you need two edim for them to be chayev, and even Rabbi Elazar of Shimon agrees to that. And another one where there's a machloikas. So therefore, we're going to have to figure out what the cases are. We know by a soter there's different sets of edim, right? We know by the soja, there's Eidi Kinui, there's Eidi Sira, there's Eidi Tumah, that's what we're discussing. And also, HaKol Moedim Be'edah, because everybody agrees there's a case of an Eid Echad that he will be Chayav Karban, of one Eid. HaKol Moedim Be'edah Shekinegdeh, HaKol Moedim Be'edah Shekinegdeh Choshed Ashvor. Also, everybody agrees, when you have one Eid, and the case is, the other person who normally would have to be swear, is suspect of swearing falsely. We're going to talk about later in the Masechta. We're going to have cases where you have a person. Now again, normally, for example, a person has, let's say, 1/8 against him in Beis. He's obligated to swear, but you can have a situation where he is not able to swear because he's chashud. Beis Din has reason to suspect him of previously swearing falsely. For example, I have edus for that effect. He's chashud. Yeah, not being chashud edus. He's chashud of swearing. Now, he may swear falsely. Therefore, what we say is in some such cases. In some such cases, we just say yes to pay. In some cases, what we do is we flip around the shvur. So the simple shvur, we're going to talk about later on in the men. We say, instead of you, Shimon, swearing that you don't owe this money and then being part of paying, instead we're going to make Reuven, who claims that you owe him the money, we're going to make him swear that you actually owe him the money, and then he's going to be able to collect on the basis of that shvur.
To avoid the first one.
To avoid Shimon, who we suspected of swearing falsely, yeah. So, in a case of Eid Shekinegdeh Choshed Ashvor, everybody would agree that when you have one Eid, that's also that you're causing that one Eid is going to be enough to make him pay, because, again, you have that he's not going to be able to swear. As the Gemara will explain on Amud Bey is the exact scenario. So, therefore, the bottom line is, from what Abaya is saying, we see that obviously Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim are not arguing over the basic question whether 1/8 is able to take away money. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon knows perfectly well that it can only cause a shavua. So then what's the machlokes? Ela dekulama eid echad tiyasi the shavua kasi. No, everybody agrees that 1/8 definitely only comes to be mechayiv and a shavua. The machlokes rather is as follows. Marasava dova agurim lomamim kumamim dami. The one opinion, namely the Elazar of Shimon, holds that something that will lead, that could lead to money, is considered like money. In other words, like this, one aid is not necessarily going to make that the other guy is going to have to pay, but if Shimon refuses to swear or can't swear or whatever, then he will have to pay.
So that's Gerdim Lamam.
It's something that indirectly can bring about a payment of money. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon holds that's the equivalent of mammon. Therefore, that one aid falsely swore that he doesn't know the aid. Therefore, he makes it, there's not going to be any shura. There's no even possibility that Shimon might refuse to swear and therefore have to pay. Therefore, that's considered to mammon. Therefore, the aid has prevented Reuven from collecting mammon. Therefore, he's chayav his carbon. Therefore, he's chayav his carbon for his false shura. Well, marsav alav kamammon dami, whereas the chachamim hold it's not considered like mammon. Therefore, he didn't directly cause a loss of money or a gain of money or whatever, and therefore he's potter from the Shvuas Eidos, because the Shvuas Eidos has to be something that involves money exchanging hands.
Real
or actual money, staying where it is, or exchanging hands, not just a Shvuas that could bring to money, right? Okay, let's stop over here and we'll deal with tomorrow.
saying what are the cases where one aid is enough to be chayav a korban shvuah, and what are the cases where you definitely need to.
But there are some.
There are such cases.